truly the lover of my soul. I thank him for loving me the way that he does. Glory to God. Nobody can love us like Jesus can. Glory to God. And I thank him for loving me, loving on me. I thank him. Hallelujah. I thank God for our leaders, Apostle Mary and Lady Danielle. I thank God for our leaders here at Full Gospel Number 2, Pastor Demas and First Lady Demas. I thank God for my own husband. I thank God for you. I thank God for Sister Haynes, Sister Hart, and Janiyah, Pastor Demas. I thank God for all of you that are here today. The lesson today is Jesus heals a centurion servant. Amen. And I'm going to read these scriptures, and I'm going to get into this lesson. I'm going to get out the way, and I will still open it up for discussion. First Lady Demas says that it's okay for us to open up for discussion. So it may be someone here today who have studied the lesson, or you have your own personal life experience. Whatever the case may be, you can add to this lesson on today, because we can learn something from one another. Amen. And so the scripture lesson text is coming from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And the scripture says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Amen. Now let's give the Lord a hand praise for those scriptures. Jesus heals a centurion servant. Brother Stephen, can you give me some water, please? Oh, okay, thank you. I saw him walking, so that's why. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read a little bit of this introduction, just a piece of it, because this is the part that really holds up the part of the Sunday school lesson. And it says, faith does not wait for visible results. Faith does not look at or get preoccupied by the visible circumstances around us. Faith looks at the one who bids us put our trust in him and faithful to carry out our promises. So faith doesn't look at our circumstances. Faith is not going by what we see or what we have going on in our life at that present moment. Amen. So I'm going to read a little portion of preparing the text lesson. I'm going to read a lot today. But I thank God for this lesson. Amen. I do apologize. My voice has been kind of going in and out. But I'm still going to give God some praise. Thank you. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Thank you. Okay. Praise Lord. In preparing to teach this lesson, it says today's Bible study reminds us of the importance of faith when praying for healing and helps us have a clearer concept of how to pray for sick people. Amen. Today's aim is the facts, the principle, and the application. The facts is to understand that the Lord is able, say able. He's able to heal people when he chooses to do so. Amen. The principle is to recognize the importance of faith and God's will when praying for healing. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand praise for Pastor Demas being here on this morning? Amen. Bless you, Pastor Demas. Okay, and the application is to pray for people's physical needs with full confidence that the Lord can heal. So we got two words, able and can, amen, as he see fit. While God is certainly able to heal anyone, he is not obligated to do so and sometimes chooses not to heal a person. Woo, amen. We have faith that God is able to heal a person if he chooses to do so. The issue is not God's ability, but it's all about God's plan, amen. And when I was studying this lesson or going over this lesson, I was reminded about Pastor Snow's testimony on this past week at the convocation and how he was talking about how all his kids got sick, amen, and how he began to pray with each child, right? And each child, you know, he was telling them, go back, you can pray. He taught their kids how to pray. And one child, God came in and moved on one child, praise God, and God healed the baby, right? And then the other one, they were still sick, and God came in. So one by one, God came in and healed. But then he had a situation that arose in his own body. He had an accident, something occurred, and he began to seek the Lord, amen, to heal his body. But then you know what he turned around and said? He said God didn't even heal his body, amen. God didn't do it, but God gave him the grace, amen, to go through it, praise God. And we know that sometimes for some of us, it may not be God's plan to heal us right then and there or ever, amen, but he will give us, amen, the grace to go through it. But this particular lesson is about a centurion, a soldier who had a servant, amen. And this is what it is saying. Let me make sure I'm going, make sure I'm on point, amen, because I don't want to get off track and lose my place. But it says, we are about to study a great lesson on faith. After Jesus' sermon on the plain come several periscopes where faith and questions about Jesus' identity are the main issues. The major subjects are women showing that Jesus' work has no gender gap. So we have to know that there's no gender gap when it comes to God's healing. And secondly, a Gentile has faith showing that there is no racial gap. So we know that there is no racial gap, amen, when it comes to God's healing. Matter of fact, when it comes to salvation, period, there is no gender gaps or racial gaps, amen. Luke emphasizes that the Gentiles as well as the Jews have been included in this, in the faith, amen. Acts 10 and 35 says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Jesus, amen. So anybody that have made the Lord Jesus Christ their Savior, you are accepted, no matter what race you are, no matter what gender you are, amen. Praise God. So let's go and get into this lesson quickly. Luke 7, 1 through 3. And it says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. I know that I'm saying right. And a certain centurion servant who I worked on that all weekend. I kept listening to Capernaum. Thank you. Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Praise God. Jesus had gone to the mountain to pray. And in Luke 6 and 12, and on the next day, he chose his disciples. And when he returned down from the mountain, he preached and healed many people. He presented the Beatitudes and explained what kind of behavior those in the kingdom should exhibit in our lives. Amen. He then spoke parables illustrating some truths about the kingdom. And then after these activities, he entered into the city of Capernaum. Thank you, Jesus. Capernaum. In Capernaum, there were many business ventures. So here, there were many business ventures here in Capernaum. And this was considered as a wealthy place. And it served as a location where the Roman soldiers, they would gather there. So this is where Jesus received his unusual request. Amen. there was a centurion who was in charge of 100 Roman soldiers. And this particular centurion exhibited a concern for his servant that many centurions would not have shown. Servants were generally considered expendable, meaning they could get rid of them at any time because they had so many, amen. But this particular centurion, he loved his servant, amen. He cared dearly about his servant, amen. And he did not feel that this particular servant could be replaced or gotten rid of, amen. So Luke recorded that this servant was dear and he was highly valued to his master and was sick unto the point of death. And Matthew 8:5-13 records that the servant was sick with the palsy and terribly tormented by this disease. And me and Stephen knew a friend, his name was Mr. Sam. And Sam had palsy where he shook all the time. But then I looked up some symptoms concerning palsy, because it says that he was terribly tormented. And I was looking up some of the symptoms, and some of the symptoms of palsy was being forgetful, cranky, having unusual emotional outbursts like crying and laughter at unexpected times, becoming angry for no reason, tremors in the hands, trouble controlling the eye movements, blurred vision, slurred speech, trouble swallowing, dementia, and depression. So I could just imagine if this person had all of these or even some of these symptoms, how he could be grievously tormented, you know, in his mind, in his body. I know people that are sick and they're going through emotionally because they can't do what they used to do. And I could just imagine if he was a servant, that means that every time this soldier needed him to do something, he was able and willing to do it. He was able to get up and move around and do the things that he was requested of. Amen. And so now he's in a position where he can't do these things anymore. And so this centurion soldier heard about Jesus, amen, heard about Jesus' miraculous works and what he was doing and what he was performing. And Jesus had delivered a man who was had delivered a man of unclean spirits. He had delivered Simon's wife of the fever. So he sent Jewish elders to plead, amen, with Jesus to come and heal his servant, amen. Now, typically, the Jews did not intermingle with other nations. We know this, right? Because they considered there to be unclean. But the lesson shows that there was a unique relationship between the Roman military and the Jewish people in Capernaum, amen. The usual animosity that would be between the two was not there. There was a mutual respect between the two of them, amen. The centurion sent the elders because he thought that he was not worthy and that the Lord would not listen to his request personally. Although the centurion did not go to Jesus personally, he still had great faith, enough faith to send someone to ask for Jesus to come. Amen. Because he wanted his servant to be healed. Glory to God. Amen. Moving on to verses 4-5. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So the Jewish leaders, they didn't waste any time going to Jesus, amen. They didn't waste any time presenting the Roman soldiers' request. The lesson says that they besought him instantly, meaning they quickly drew nigh to him, imploring him, which means they begged him. They came begging. They came asking, Lord Jesus, please. This servant needs your help. He's dying. Hallelujah. And his master is seeking after you. These are my words, seeking after you to come heal. We know of what you can do. We've heard of the things that you have done, and we need you to come. Our master, well, the centurion soldier is begging for you to come, amen. As they begin to beg and plead with Jesus for his response, they explained that this particular centurion was a man that was worthy to receive help from Jesus because this man's love for the Jews was a genuine love, amen. And he had a love for them so much so that he allowed a synagogue to be built for these people, amen. So they're explaining to him, you know, he's worthy for you to come because He loves the Jewish people, being that Jesus was a Jew, amen. He loves the Jewish people so much so that a synagogue was built for them. So they're pleading with Jesus. Now we know that most Jewish elders did not believe. Now we know that the Jewish elders did not believe in Jesus like that as the Messiah. They were still looking for the Messiah to come, amen. But they did not really believe that Jesus could heal. But these particular Jewish elders begged Jesus and persuaded him to come. Now, up to this point, Jesus has been portrayed as dealing exclusively with the Jews. But now he is shown beginning to pay attention to the Gentiles as well. So now we have Jewish elders who were not normally supportive of Jesus begging him to come. And then we have a slave who is, in most cases, would be considered as nothing and tossed to the side or replaced, amen. And then we have a centurion Roman soldier who has a genuine love for the Jews. So Luke is displaying all the attitudes of the centurions toward the Jews and Jews toward Jesus. And later the lesson proves to us that he believed in Jesus' authority. He believed in who Jesus was, amen. So moving right along, glory to God. I hope I'm not going too fast. Luke 7:6-8, and it says, then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So now Jesus was already near the centurion's home. Jesus had already made his way to the centurion soldier's home. Now it is possible that the centurion began to second guess what he had done. He started to second guess his request. And it says his thought maybe was that he was embarrassed, amen, because of who he was. And then on top of that, at that time, the Jews were not allowed to enter into Gentiles' home. It was taught to them that it would defile them, amen, if they went into the home of a Gentile, amen. But whatever the reason was, the centurion showed genuine respect for Jesus at that time and requested for him not to enter into his home, amen. And I'm gonna go read a little bit on page 120 if you have it and you want to follow with me. And it says, his request also revealed his faith coupled with his humility. It seems unusual that a centurion would send for Jesus and then tell him not to come, amen. So it was almost like I said, he started to second guess what his request, amen. But it was unusual that the centurion would send for Jesus and then tell him not to come. And apparently his humility moved him to do so. He felt unworthy, and he stated that initially. He felt unworthy. He may also have wished to spare Jesus the embarrassment of entering into a Gentile's house, since many Jews would have criticized Jesus for doing so because of the way that they were taught. He even felt unfit spiritually, morally, religiously to meet Jesus outside of his own home, amen. And sometimes, have we ever felt unworthy? Have you know, some people, and I thought about this, some people will not go to Jesus directly because they feel so unworthy. They feel so unworthy. They'll call you and ask you to pray on their behalf. They'll call me or you. They'll ask us to pray on their behalf because of what they've done or what they've been involved in, and they feel so unworthy. And sometimes they'll go to Jesus, and then I have had times, and I'll share this, not that I had sinned or anything, but there were some times where I just felt like I didn't do everything the way I needed to do it. You know, and as a child of God, I think we beat ourselves up more than what we should. But there have been times in my saved life where I didn't pray like I was supposed to. I wasn't studying like I was supposed to. And I just, for some reason, I just didn't feel right going to God. I felt so unworthy because I felt like, girl, you knew you should have been doing this. You knew you should have been doing that. And I felt so unworthy to go to him. Now, on the flip side of that, he told us that we could boldly come to the throne of grace. Glory to God. And I thank him for that. But in this particular situation, they were Gentiles, amen? And so he felt unworthy. And we should never feel unworthy to go to our God, amen? But sometimes it gets that way. So I could just imagine a sinner man or somebody that's not saved or somebody that done stepped away from the faith, how they feel. Or you're not a Christian or you of another nationality or something like that, and you feel unworthy to come to God. And this is how he was feeling. Moving on, it says, it is quite clear that the centurion knew who Jesus was. He knew the power of God, but he had heard what he had done, and he believed in that. He had come to recognize him as the Son of God, whereas most of the Jews had not. Some of them were still looking for the Messiah. For this reason, he expressed the realization that he was not worthy of having Jesus enter to his home. He recognized that he was the Son of God, and he realized that he was not worthy of him coming into his home. My God, we should also recognize that Jesus himself had no qualms about going. Jesus didn't mind going. That's what he came for, to heal, set free, and deliver, amen? He didn't have a problem going, amen? While the Jews, and especially their leaders, exhibited racial limits, Jesus had come for all people. Gentiles as well as the Jews, and I thank God that he came for me, because if he didn't come for us, we'll still be lost, amen? We will still be in our sins, oh my goodness, looking for hope, amen? Jesus came for all people, and he came without hesitation, so he went to the centurion's home, amen? This is a good thing for believers to notice today. Our world is fraught with racial tension, amen? And we know this, racial tension, gender tension, it's going on today. Hallelujah. It's just too much to even discuss sometimes. It can weigh you down, amen? Glory to God. In our own nation, this is going on, glory to God. But Jesus died for every last one of us. Jesus died for every last homosexual, every sinner. He died for every last one of us, amen. Glory to God. And heaven, it says in here, we know heaven is going to be populated with people from different nationalities who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. We need to love the way that he did by looking past skin color and nationality and instead seeing the souls of people from who Jesus died, amen. We have to look at people the way God would want us to look at them, amen. And sometimes after you done dealt with certain situations and circumstances, you know, I know some homosexuals. I got some in my family, and they real about that thing. I think, and we not recording, but one of my sisters is married to one, amen. And when I went to go visit my dad, it was hard for me to be around them to a certain degree. But I still had to exhibit the love of Christ to show them that, yeah, we different, but Jesus still loves you. And we went to the beach, and we were all kind of, me and my other sister, we just kind of went off to ourselves a little bit. And I could tell that the one young lady, she started to get convicted. You can see the conviction on her. And it got so much so, my daddy, they brought their little radio out, so I didn't want to be over there with them because at first they were playing a lot of ungodly music, so we went on off to by ourselves. But then they flipped the channel on us. They started playing, it was Kirk Franklin, but they started playing they started playing Christian music, you know? And so I could tell the young lady, she started to get convicted, so much so that she started going off by herself. I knew what God was doing. I could see him. I could see him working. She started going off by herself, standing in the water, looking up in the sky. I knew how. If I didn't exhibit the love of Christ, though, she would think that Christians hated them. And we don't. We hate what they do because we're supposed to hate everything that God hates. We're supposed to despise everything that God despised. But Jesus told us to love them in the same token. And I could see God working. I could see, and I prayed, and I was like, God, you know how I feel. I don't want to be so lovable that they feel like it's okay that I'm accepting it, but I do want to exhibit your love to the point where they get convicted and they see that I'm living a whole different lifestyle. Because I know my sisters talk about me all the time. They talk about how I used to be, because we used to be some hallelujah. And my sisters, they would tell people, and I've heard them in conversations telling people, man, my sister used to be crazy, boy. But look at her now. Look at her now. I'm not the same person. I'm not that person anymore. And I'm sharing this snippet. I had to pull away from them to show them how much I loved him. Because there was a time in my life, and I told this story many times, I would go back and forth, because I was still connected with them. Anytime I would get around them and they was doing stuff, I started getting weak. I wasn't strong enough to be around them. But I thank God now, 20 years later, praise God, I could be around them, and then I don't have to be. But I want to be around them long enough so they can still see the love of Christ in my life. So it brings conviction upon them, so they will realize, I don't have to live like this. I don't have to keep going like this, amen. So I just want to share that. But, you know, we have to understand that God died for them too. That Jesus died for them too, so that they could be saved, set free, and delivered. Amen. So I'm going to move on to the inner part of this lesson. And it's verses 9 through 10. Amen. And it says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Amen. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. And it says here, I'm sorry, hold on, give me just a second. Bless the Lord. I think I skipped some, but you know what? We're going to keep on moving. Glory to God. Okay, so now we have Jesus was amazed at the insightful understanding of this centurion soldier. Extraordinarily impressed and feeling great admiration for this man, because this man looked up to Jesus and looked up to who he was. Amen. He illustrated an understanding of who Jesus was. And he understood Jesus' authority. Amen. Amen. It says the Jews were supposedly looking for the coming of their Messiah, but the faith of this Gentile centurion far surpassed theirs. Amen. Because like I said before, they were still looking for the Messiah. So they did not believe in who Jesus was as far as him being the Savior and him healing the sick and raising the dead. They didn't believe in all that. But this centurion soldier did. Jesus had arrived and given him many evidences of who he was. But many of them, especially their leaders, still had no faith. This Roman understood the truth about Jesus, his authority, because he saw the big picture that the majority of the Jews did not see. They saw Jesus as no more than a human being, a man. And I remember we were witnessing at the train station a few weeks ago, and I actually ran into a young lady who was a Jew. She was a bona fide Jew. And when I began to talk to her about the love of Jesus and what he did and everything, you know, she began to point out that I'm a Jew, you know. And I still began to talk to her, but then I let her in. You know, she started to talk, and she said, I just believe that Jesus was a great man. He was a great man. And I was like, wow. You know, whoa. You know, and we know that this is what they believe, but to hear it being said, he was a great man, just like some of the Muslims. They believe he was a great prophet. But none of them believe that he's the Messiah. None of them believe that he's the Son of God. Amen. So they saw Jesus as no more than just a human being, missing the reality of his person. The centurion saw him for who he really was. He saw him as the Messiah. He saw him as the Savior. When the friends who had sent to Jesus returned to the centurion's home. See, now Jesus saw that this man had great faith, amen. So when the centurions returned to the home, they found that his servant had been healed. Jesus did it. Jesus healed this man of his infirmity. Jesus had honored the centurion's faith by immediately restoring the servant's health. It was obvious that Jesus was not impressed that someone was a Jew or held a position of religious leadership or exercised political authority. The only thing that truly mattered to him was simple faith. Amen. And we sing the song, Just Have a Little Faith. Amen. Have a little faith in Jesus. Glory to God. And we know we have to have faith as a mustard seed. And me and my mom was talking about a mustard seed. And we, you know, I have a seasoning that has mustard seeds in it. And that mustard seed is very small. But when that mustard seed begins to grow, that mustard seed can grow around any obstacle. And that's what God is letting us know. If we have the faith of a mustard seed, our faith can take us through any situation, every circumstance that comes up in our lives, amen. And that's what it means to have just a little faith. That's all we really need, amen. And it seems so, we make it so complicated. And it's really not that complicated. We just have to learn how to give everything to Jesus. And even if he don't do it right then and there, glory to God, we can go to him like the unjust judge, like the lady did in the unjust judge, and just keep taking it to him. Because eventually, he's going to either give us the grace to go through it, amen, or he's going to do that thing. But we just need to supply the faith, amen, just a little faith, amen. And I'm going to go ahead and do the conclusion of this. And it says, we do not believe that the Lord will heal every person who claims to have enough faith of that he will respond with immediate healing to every person who prays. Wait a minute, hold on, I'm sorry. We do not believe that the Lord will heal every person who claims to have enough faith or that he will respond with immediate healing to every person who prays for it. For someone else. Now, we know that it's going to be his plan that God heals. Amen. And if you look at some of the scripture, we can use Paul as an example. Paul said he had a thorn in his flesh and he sought the Lord three times about that thing. And I'm, you know, that's documented that he sought him three times, but who's to say how many more times that he sought him? You know what I'm saying? But he sought the Lord to remove that thing and God did not remove it. Amen. But he did let him know that my grace is sufficient for you. So just, we can supply the faith sometimes, but we have to recognize as well that it may be God's plan for us to stay sick. My mama has the testimony of, you know, my mom is sick. You know, she just kind of going through in her body, but yet and still she would get up and she would go to work and she would be sick in her body. And yet it would be people on their deathbed. They would be clinging to death. And my mom would go through there and she would pray with them. And some of them would give their lives to the Lord and she would watch God raise these people up. Amen. They would get better and they would go home. Because at that time, they supplied the faith that they needed, and they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Amen. But it don't go that way for everybody. Amen. She had people that was clinging to death, and she went in, and she prayed that they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Praise the God. And she would go home over the weekend and come back, and they had been one-on with the Lord. Amen. So we have to understand that, we supplied the faith. We know God can, and we know he's able. Amen. But we do have to still recognize that it has to be God's plan, amen. But we need to understand that he can and he is able to do so. We should never refrain from praying, though, for sick people. Regardless to what we're going through in our bodies, we still need to pray. But when we pray, we need to pray biblically. Lord, you know, let your will be done. But we still want to supply the faith that God is going to do that thing, amen. Your will, it has to be God's will, amen. And we trust that the Lord can do it, amen. And I'm going to go ahead and end this lesson. I pray that I said something. I pray that it was clear, amen. We want to trust the Lord, amen, for whatever it is that we need to trust him for, amen. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for anyone who may have.